This is Brianna Cespedes, also known as DJ Cubanita, welcoming you to the Los Angeles Hispanic Republican Club show with your host, David Hernandez. Whether it's pupusas or tostadas, menudo or pozole, you have found one of the most recognized and respected voices representing the conservative Hispanic community in Los Angeles. So if you're an American of Hispanic descent and believe in family, faith, and opportunity, you just may be a Republican after all. Listen in and you decide. Are you one of us? Remember, brown is the new red, Republican red. So here he is, the man from Land of Lincoln, Lincoln Heights, David Hernandez.
Well, welcome everybody. Here we are. It's Saturday night. We're coming to you live from the CNN Metal Studios in beautiful Glendale, California. And I'm looking over to my left, your right, and there is the lovely Mary Ann Bernal, who is sitting in as co-host. Welcome back, Mary Ann.
Thank you, David. I'm happy to be back. Good evening to everybody that's listening to us. So we got a good show tonight, and I'm looking forward to talking to the guests tonight. So, yes.
Excellent, excellent. And also sitting in riding shotgun on the other side over there is our good friend Angela Marson from Pineapple Hill. Welcome, Angela.
Hey, David. Thank you for having me. It's nice to be back.
And then over there, our sergeant at arms, we have the man from Leave Our Kids Alone, Manouk. Welcome,
yes,
Manouk.
Welcome. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. David.
All right. Now, they're still counting the votes. So what a more appropriate time than ever to bring on as our first guest, Dr. Frank Douglas. Let's talk about election. It's not only what's being counted, but who's counting them. Who's out there counting the votes? I'm sure everything is above board. We have nothing to worry about. And so welcome, Dr. Douglas. You're on the air live with myself and Mary Ann and Angela and Manouk. And we're all still waiting to see how the numbers are going to drop here in L.A. County. Can you?
I can hear you.
Okay, great.
Is that my friend Angela?
Yes, it is. Hi, Dr. Frank. How are you?
Oh, man, you're one of my favorites out there, man.
Hey, you know what? You're the Johnny Appleseed of voting,
there you go.
There you go. One of the story, David, is that while I was there several months ago, might have been 6 months ago, maybe 8 months ago, I spoke in their lovely outdoor restaurant space.
Yep.
And the L.A. Times came up and did a whole hit piece on us.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Pretty good.
Conspiracy, tinfoil hat people.
Right, right.
Yeah. But they call me the Johnny Appleseed of election fraud.
And I thought it was perfect. I'm from Indiana. I'm from where Johnny Appleseed started.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, that actually is not an insult. That's like the most awesome name you could be called.
Well,
yes, I was very complimented by it, yeah.
Well, you know, Dr. Douglas, it seems like you have an ally from the other side of the aisle who is calling that especially the elections here in L.A. and California were rigged. None other than open border Katie Porter.
Yes.
Open border.
I don't know her.
She just ran for U.S. Senate against Adam Schiff and Barbara Lee. And there was a little spoiler in the mix. The former first baseman from the L.A. Dodgers, Steve Garvey. So Steve Garvey is now in a very strong second place with Adam Schiff in first place for U.S. Senate here in California. So Barbara Lee and Katie Porter are not only did they not make the top two, but they're going to be done. they're going to be done in Congress. So Katie Porter was saying that the election was rigged, and that's why she's not in the top two.
Well, she's not wrong. I've been traveling the whole country. I've been in 48 states now, 800 counties I've given talks in over the last 3.5 years. I've done nothing but this since December of 2020 when I started my working with the Pennsylvania State Legislature. They invited me, and I'm a mathematician, scientist kind of guy. And so they asked me to look at their numbers and analyze their elections. And boy, did I find a lot of fraud in Pennsylvania. And before I knew it, Mr. Lindell discovered my work and made a movie about me. And I've just been bombarded with requests ever since. I don't charge for any of my work, but I'm on the road almost continuously. So I always tell people, you know, either I'm good or I'm cheap, but I'm booked solid for, you know,
And he is booked solid, that's for sure.
Well, Angela, what are some of the things that he talked about that really piqued your interest?
You know, I love that it's coming. He's coming from a scientific way of approaching it. Mm-hmm. So the graphs and the charts and just how the, you know, if he has a way of basically showing the lines in every county and how they're going exactly the same way. Mm-hmm. And that is very fascinating because if all counties are made up of different people, right?
Right.
Yes. And people vote, right, Dr. Frank? It doesn't make sense that logically the graph lines would do the exact same thing in every county.
Yes, interesting.
And that was very, very fascinating. But there's 3 hours he speaks, and you learn and you grow. And I don't, I tried very hard to get people from the other side out saying, right, like, listen, just listen to the information. It's, you know, what Dr. Frank says. There's cheating on both sides. Yes. This isn't a blue or a red. Just it's about our elections. It's very hard to get people to come out and listen. But when they do, I swear, 3 hours and people just stay and listen. And when you guys first came, because I had them twice, I was like, has he ever been to an outdoor dining area? I mean, people you don't get their attention for 3 hours. Are you sure 3 hours is how long you want to do this for? And they're like, no, he does this all the time.
Well, I think most people that are I guess, vested or they you know, are regular voters, they're willing to listen. It's, I think, a lot of other people that are not, you know, they're watching the mainstream media. And and so they're being fed one narrative, and they just don't believe it, or they just don't care. I mean, look at how many people actually come out and vote.
That's,
you know,
just so disheartening.
Yes, it is. I mean, I would love to see it. You know, it'd be nice to have them come in the studio, but I don't know how we can see, you know, form it in a way where everybody can see it on a radio show, so it makes it difficult on a radio show.
Well, let's give him a chance. All right, you know, Doctor, we have about 10 minutes. Can we get a crash course on, you know, what we all went to the polls, or we voted by mail, and what's there to expect?
Well, I would, if I don't have my the benefit of graphs, I would tell people a couple of things, and it's a pretty straightforward thing to understand. The first thing to understand is that in California, your voter rolls are a wreck. They are full, way over full. They have more people in the voter rolls than you have people. And if you don't believe me, believe the Los Angeles court, because Judicial Watch sued Los Angeles County and won that lawsuit a year ago, February a year ago now. And they were required, the judge ordered the county of Los Angeles to remove 1.2 million people from their rolls.
But yeah, they did. But they were all Republicans,
or they were dead.
They were dead.
Dead Republicans.
Dead Republicans.
So if I was talking to a group in L.A. on the radio and I couldn't show them any graphs, I would say, think about this: between 1 in 3 and 1 in 4 of the people in your voter rolls don't belong there.
Wow.
So that's a starting fact. So now let's make it easy to visualize. Imagine that you mail 100 ballots out because you're an all-mail state now. You mail all the ballots to everybody. Well, 30 of those ballots go somewhere. You don't even know where they're going because those people aren't real voters. It's not their house. They don't live there. They're dead. They moved away. For some reason, they shouldn't be in the rolls. So 30 of the ballots go somewhere. We don't know. Let's set that aside for a minute. The other 70 ballots go to real voters. And let's say that it's a particularly interesting election, and 60 out of the 70 vote. Now, this is a primary, and I bet you it was closer to 30 out of the 70. But probably the turnout was low. But let's just say 60 out of the 70 voted. And let's say it's a close race, and it's 30 to 30. Well, wait a minute. There's another 30 ballots just floating around out there somewhere. We can just buy a couple of them and stuff them on one side of the and change the outcome of the election. So that's the real problem you have in California, is you mail ballots to everybody in your rolls, even though your voter rolls are really dirty. That's a huge problem. One thing, I was listening to some of the students from UCLA a year ago, and they were telling me that they were being offered $200 a piece for their ballots by local non-government organizations, NGOs. So imagine you're a student, you know, you're scraping up dollars, and somebody comes on campus and says, hey, we'll give you $200 for your ballot. Of course you're going to turn it in and get $200 for it. But then furthermore, you go back to your dorm room and you order absentee ballots for all your roommates. So guess what?
Right, then, yeah. I mean, that should be criminal.
And it is. And then they turn them all in to these NGOs and get money for it. Now think about it. All those bad ballots are being used in your elections. And if this is a low turnout election, which the primaries typically are, it's so easy to just buy a few ballots here or there and tilt the whole thing. And if you don't believe that this is real, just look this up online. Lodi, California, San Joaquin, California, LODI. We have convictions of a city councilman doing exactly this, where he has ordered a whole bunch of extra absentee ballots for, and he voted those ballots, and because it doesn't take much to win a local election. And that's the situation you're in California. That's why very easy to rig an election there. Very easy to not have a fair election. Is that a simple enough explanation?
Yeah. You know, what we found this time is a lot of people went to the polls, you know, and a lot of them, they got their mail-in ballot. They didn't look at it because they were going to go. They were being told, go the last day and vote in person. Yeah. So they didn't bother to look at their ballots. And so a lot of these are Republicans. And so they go there, and when they look at their ballot and they're told, well, you're a Democrat, you can't vote for President Trump. Or you're an NPP, and so you can't vote for a Republican. And they're like, what's going on here? I didn't change my voter. That happened. That happened to my grandson. That happened to my daughter. That happened to people that I know. I mean, Jeffy Gergenti, she got two ballots. One as an NPP in her prior married name, and also one as a Republican, but in her maiden name. And so there's so much irregularities going on with the ballots themselves, and they really relied on people saying, "Well, we're not really going to, you know, we're not going to look at it." And then all of a sudden, because my daughter looked at hers and said, "Wait a minute, it says Democrat. I'm not a Democrat."
Right.
She called the register recorder's office, and they found it, and they eventually sent her a new ballot. But when she went to the polling place, they did the same thing. They looked her up, and you know, when she checked in, oh, no, you're a Democrat.
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
I had a very interesting experience as well. I waited to the last day to go in person and vote. And when I came in to vote, I'm an independent, and I get my ballot, and there's a gentleman. He's very upset because they don't have – even Joe Biden on his ballot. They don't have Trump on the ballot. Nothing. And he's like, "Why is this? Why is this?"
So
and they're
funny.
Like, and they're saying, "Well, you're an American independent, so you're not, you know, you can't vote," and or just whatever they were telling him. And I was trying not to pay attention. He was getting very upset, but he kind of calmed down. And then I went to vote on the machine, and the machine I was waiting for, the girl was having an issue with the machine.
Wow.
And it was like she was finished, but it wasn't taking or going away. So they're like, oh, so they said, well, don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. She leaves. And then they're sitting there. I mean, they looked sincere. They're trying to figure out what's going on with this machine. And then they waved me. They go, no, we can't have you use this one. We got to figure what's going on with this. Something's up with this.
Wow.
So they send me to another one. And then I look at the thing, and obviously for the president, there's no Trump on it. There's no Joe Biden on mine. But there's you can write it in. So I just leaned over as they were trying to figure out this machine and said, oh, I can write in who I want, right? And the woman goes, no, you can't because you're an independent. So you can only pick the president for the party of if you're a Republican or if you're a Democrat. And I go, no, wait. I'm an independent for a reason. That means I can vote either way.
Exactly.
So I can write this in, right? And then the guy with her goes, oh, I think she's right. So I go ahead and write it in, and then it takes it. I said, it took, and my screen went fine. And then the guy goes, I don't know if it's just so many people are coming in or what, but we've been having issues with these machines all day. And I'm like,
yeah. You know, it's funny because I'm an independent too. And I just changed
two independent women.
A couple of weeks ago.
She's now a Republican.
But, you know, but it's true. I don't understand why they just don't list the presidents on there no matter what. How many presidents is there? It's like, you know, it just lists them because, you know, it shouldn't be difficult for an independent because the independents are starting to, I think, like rise as far as a number of people voting. I think they're kind of coming close probably as far as Republicans. I don't know what the amount of independents, but I hear that they're really starting to be a big voting bloc. So I don't know why.
They are. I've seen your numbers. They are. In many counties, it's as many as a third of the people are NPP, no party president.
Yeah. So why not just list the president's names? It's just, you know, there's a reason why we both, because I feel the same way. I want to vote for either one. You know, it's
right. Why aren't the names on the ballot?
List them.
Well, I changed my party from Democrat to Republican.
Yay! Good for you!
But guess what? I got a ballot in my car. It says Democratic ballot, and it doesn't have no presidents on it.
Yeah.
But I changed, and they're still not changing me to... My ballot's coming home.
The way the primaries work, is that true?
They said that I have to go in person and change it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you shouldn't have to go in person, but I mean, because they have same day voter registration, so you know you can drop a busload just in from China that just came across the border, and they can go and they can register the same day. And
why? I mean, if we're having a glitch with a computer right then and there in front of everybody, why isn't that enough for people to go? It's not conspiracy. Look, the computers have glitches. So let's just go back to paper ballots in person, which, by the way, I didn't have my ballot with me. Mm-hmm. So I asked them if they could print out my ballot, and they did. But they were not even going to ask me for ID. I guess that's not required in California.
So no, it's forbidden.
They weren't going to ask me for my ID. She says, oh, well, what's your last name? What's your address? And I go, well, here, you can look at my driver's license.
No.
And she's like, oh, okay. I was like, what?
I have a question, though, for Frank. And what I really want to know is, because my husband, we're waiting to see. He's running for Congress right now, and I'm so frustrated right now, like so many candidates and their families right now, because we basically have a two-month-long election happening right now. It starts February 5th. It goes to March. I'm told numbers are not going to be really out until March 26th.
Machines are really working.
Exactly. That's what I want to know. How many ballots can these machines count? Like an hour, minute? I don't know. Do you have that answer?
Well, it depends which brand you have and depends. If you're trying to count them in person, the local, they're called tabulators, the local ones can do about 6 a minute. But if they have central count, which I think they do in your Smartmatic County, I think they have central county, your voter's choice. You can vote anywhere you want in a county, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, then it's called voter's choice. Then what they do is a lot of times they just take them to a central location. Those machines can do like 30 ballots a minute. They go really quickly. It's like, think of it like a fast photocopier or a slow photocopier. You know, the ones that are spread out all over the county, those tend to be the slow kind. They can only do, you know, 5 or 6 a minute. But then the central count ones can maybe do 20 or 30 a minute.
Okay.
Now, Doctor,
does that make sense?
Yes.
Where can people find out more about you? Is there a website? How can they get involved? How can they request you for free to come and speak to their groups?
That's right. If you want me in California, the right way is to send me an email, and I'll connect you to my schedulers. And I'll just give you my email. It's Dr. like Doctor Dr. No period. Dr. Douglas Doug. LAS, G like George, Frank, FRANK, Dr. Douglas G. Frank at Outlook.com. If you send me an email and tell me who you are and where you want me and what kind of event you want to do, I'll put you in touch with my schedulers. But if you just want to follow my work, it depends what you like to go. I don't have a website anymore. All that stuff has been taken down against my will. But I do have social media sites. I have Twitter, and on Twitter I'm called Dr. Frank Models. On Telegram, I'm called Follow the Data with Dr. Frank. And I have a Facebook page called Douglas G. Frank, no period. And I post there probably every day at least one or two things showing what's going on. I travel the whole country. Work closely with a lot of people. Tonight I co-headlined with Patrick Byrne, you know who he is. And he's the guy who did the movie Rigged and mm-hmm. has just come up with a new book. It's really going to be an important book where he basically spells out a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff that's been happening in our country for the last 10 years. He's been privy to. He's one of the few people that had access to President Trump immediately after the election. He and Sidney Powell and General Flynn were with him. So I think that's the best way to follow me.
Okay, great. And then what we'll do is we'll see about bringing you back, and we'll go over to Angela's and we'll do that.
we'll do that again.
Maybe the 180 Gen Z podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's a beautiful venue that Angela has, and I've been there twice now, and it's always well attended and excellent food and fun times.
Yep. Thank you, Dr.
All right.
Frank.
Thank you, Dr. Frank.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Pleasure talking to you guys.
All right.
Bye.
You know, there's so much stuff going on. I mean, no matter where you look, and these quality of life issues, we're going to go to a break in a bit. But before we go to our break, we're going to bring on our next two guests, and then we're going to hold them over for the break, is because on March the 12th, there is a hearing at the Stanley Mosque courthouse, 111 North, I think that's Hill Street. And then there's going to be a rally. So we're going to be speaking with Brenda and Julie. So if Ryan, can you merge those two calls? Ryan is the magician behind the scenes. And so welcome Julie and welcome Brenda. Thank you for holding on. But we wanted to make sure we give you a lot of time, because what's going on the 12th is really important. So welcome.
Thank you for having us. We really appreciate the opportunity.
Well, first of all, now, Julie, tell us a little bit about the court case.
Sure. Basically, L.A. County drafted and then proceeded to pass a very unprotective ordinance for wireless applications that is already been de facto, but this has now been institutionalized, where they're putting up these towers in the middle of the night every 200 to 500 feet, and they're doing so without even needing to inform us, much less get our consent. We gave them tons of information about more protective ordinances. We rewrote for them. They ignored us. So we said we need to protect the people of L.A. I myself am a casualty of this. And Brenda is leading the charge in Los Angeles. We have a powerful attorney team. We will be in court on March 12th, 9:30 a.m. at the Stanley Mosque Courthouse, as you mentioned, at 111 North Hill Street. And we're asking at 9:30, we're asking people to join us. We're going to have a rally and a press conference in front. Some of us will be going into the courtroom. And we really hope this judge will see. For one thing, it also violates state law, environmental protection laws. They're claiming these are ministerial, and therefore they don't have to inform us and not subject to environmental reviews. And I would love for Brenda to talk a little bit more about the actual ordinance and also what to expect on Tuesday, if that's okay.
Yeah, and also, and cover what these towers are, because I think a lot of our guests really don't understand. And how they could get away with doing this.
Right. And they're not even for better signal on our phones. This is really about data, our surveillance, both for profits and also military surveillance. So we do need to oppose these towers, and they're very harmful to our health. These are using frequencies that are extremely harmful in a short radius. That's why they have to put them every 200 to 500 feet and back them up with other 4G towers. So I'm going to give it to Brenda.
All right, Brenda, go ahead.
Thank you so much for having us here, David. It's always such a pleasure to be able to find an avenue that will listen to our issue that is going to affect us all. So as Julie mentioned, back in 2023, the Board of Supervisors decided to make this amendment on two very important wireless facility ordinances. One is the Wireless Facility Ordinance 16, and the other one is 22. So basically, the Ordinance 16, it talks about removing all public input. So there will be no notification if a cell tower or antenna is placed in a public space, which means it could be placed in front of your house the sidewalk is considered public space. So it can be in front of your house, in front of your children's school, in front of your daycare center, your church, your area of work. It doesn't matter. It, as long as it is in the private and that public space, they will place it and they will not let you know. They will remove all due process. That means there usually is a hearing with a judge and with inspectors and specialists, engineers, and so on, and public comment and a hearing. And then they give you the opportunity to appeal this if you are not in favor of it. Well, all of that will be removed. You will have absolutely no voice. You will not know where will they place this, if it's going to be in front of your house. If it's making you sick, you will not know what's making you sick, if it's making your children sick. And then the Title 22 will remove the very, very important California Environmental Quality Act. It will violate the California Environmental Quality Act and also the historical protections.
So, not to mention that these towers are extremely fire-prone. In fact, all of the recent fires, including the Thomas Fire, have been linked to utility failures. They overload these poles. In many cases, they do something called strand-mounted antenna. In low-income communities, and they're doing it more than anywhere else, but they're doing it really literally everywhere, and they are causing major fires.
Yes, they're doing it everywhere. Yes, and in fact, they link a fire, a very huge fire in California, the 2017 Woolsey Fire, that cost the state $6 billion and, destroyed 40,000 homes. Three people die. They link that fire to a wire from a wireless facility place. So we know that there is a very
there is a danger
risk
there. Now hold on. We're going to go to a break, but when we come back, we want to continue the conversation. We also want to talk about the rally and how people can support you. So we'll be right back with Brenda and with Julie, and we're talking about the 5G towers that they're putting up right in your neighborhood. And we're back, and we're back, and we're talking about an incredible, unbelievable issue, right, Angela? It's like, how did this happen? And, Marianne, you're very health conscious. You do all of these different things. And yet, behind the scenes, these politicians and special interest groups are pushing this stuff, without our knowledge. Thank God for, people like Julie and like Brenda and their organization that is basically stepping up as advocates for the quality of life. And so, Brenda, so on Tuesday is going to be the court hearing at Stanley Mosque Courthouse, 111 North Hill Street. But there's also going to be a rally and a press conference there. Can you tell our listeners about that?
Yes, absolutely. So we're going to start with the press conference at 9:30. So whoever wants to come or can come as early as possible, like 9 o'clock, we're going to start lining up and getting everybody ready. The attorneys will be giving this press conference. So we will be able to hear directly from the attorneys on what is that they're expecting to happen on this hearing. And also, we are going to rally outside the court. Some people will be going into the courtroom, but the courtroom is small, so we will have it has a limited capacity. But on the we can still be on the street. We can have our signs. We can pass flyers. Let people know why we are there, and in an orderly way. And we will be expecting a verdict by around 12 o'clock. Wow. So the attorneys will be coming out and giving us the judge's verdict around that time.
Wow. Now,
Julie, we're inviting everybody to come. And if they can come, they can donate. They can start informing themselves, finding more information about this.
Well, like all lawsuits, to get a good representation, a proper representation, regardless of that it's, it's for the benefit of the public, it's still going to take funding. How can people, say if they can't come to the rally, how can they support financially, what you're doing?
Yeah, I can respond to that.
Okay.
We are we definitely need funds. Our main attorney, Scott McCullough, is being funded through Children's Health Defense, but we desperately need funds for the environmental lawsuit. And we are accepting funds either through Children's Health Defense with a designation for it, or you can give online through Fiber. Our coalition is FiberFirstLA.org. And it's very important that when you give, you just make sure it's for the legal suit. And it is a tax-deductible donation. We appreciate any help. FiberFirstLA.org.
Now, are you on social media at all, Facebook, Twitter, any of those?
Yes, we are. Not Fiber First LA so much. We do have a website with a lot of information. I started a nonprofit because I did get sick from wireless. They were doing this with the vans in the middle of the night in front of my home. So I started a group called 5G Free California. We also have information on our website, number 5, letter G, free, F-R-E-E, California.org. You can find a lot of information there.
What were some of this? I'm just curious. My father was part of the Roundup lawsuit. I'm from Indiana. What are some of the health symptoms and things that are happening with people? Is there research behind it?
Right. There certainly is. This is the new tobacco. If you've ever seen the film, there was a satire that was made called Thank You for Smoking that talks about, you know, what next when they finally had to produce the evidence that they knew of the harm that cigarettes caused. And they said, telecom. Literally, telecom. It is the new tobacco. There's many, many brain tumor cases languishing in the courts because they don't want them to reach discovery when they have to produce the evidence. We have the worst type of cancer from it is a shawarma cancer that's most frequent around the ear. Any place, thyroid cancers, any place where you hold a phone, you're more likely to get a cancer. Also, early symptoms are tinnitus, nervousness, irritability, sweats, difficulty sleeping, that kind of thing. And there are, it's also linked to immune disorders, a whole host of diseases. There are literally thousands of peer-reviewed scientific studies. In fact, the same attorney that's arguing this case won a case in which he was able to show that the FCC was ignoring the evidence of harm in the guidelines for exposure. They allow so much exposure to this type. It is a form of radiation. It is non-ionizing radiation, and so it's always been said, oh, it's not harmful. It is harmful. We have so much proof of it. They know how harmful it is. In fact, when you invest in these companies, they say, invest now in 5G, because when they prove liability, it's going to be very expensive. Now is the time to do the investing.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, and I want to add to that that the insurance companies do not want to insure the 5G infrastructure. You know, one of the only companies that is called Lloyd's of London refused to insure any of this infrastructure, any of this technology.
That's interesting.
Because they found it very harmful. They found it just as harmful as DDT.
Well, that should say a lot right there.
Yeah. Well, so we'll be there we'll be there on Tuesday, and we're going to bring our Gen Z team, Ellie and Mami Bitara, so that they'll be able to do some interviews, and their interviews get millions and millions of views, especially going out to young people. And I know that this is the first I heard of this, and you know, and we're pretty up on a lot of different things, and so I'm really, you know, grateful for Julie reaching out, and Brenda for all that you're doing. So you know, we're going to keep following this, because here you have, you know, five county supervisors going ahead and making these type of decisions, and they keep getting reelected because people really don't realize that they're not looking out for your best interest.
Yeah, and the news media doesn't report it because they're all part of the same, you know, agenda.
And their board is made up of big tech.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well,
they use their taxes to fight us.
Yeah.
So. All right. So we'll see you 9 a.m. on Tuesday, March the 12th, Stanley Moss Courthouse, 111 North Hill Street. Thank you, guys, and I look forward to meeting you in person. Go ahead.
I just want to remind everybody that there is no cameras and there's no phones in the courtroom. So if anybody wants to go into the courtroom, they will not be allowed to be taking any pictures or any video or anything. But they are more than welcome to take pictures and interviews on the outside. There's Grand Park right next to it, and people will, you know, can gather and wait while we, you know, we're there for the verdict. Yeah.
Okay, great. Right. Thank you.
Again. Thank you.
We really appreciate you for the time.
You got it. Thank you. So,
wow,
Angela.
There's so much stuff. How do you keep up with it?
Well, but we have to, right? Manuk, something's going on the next Saturday. What is it?
Well, as all of you, a lot of you know that I am very active with when it comes to children. Mm-hmm. So I did come across this initiative called ProtectKidsCalifornia.com. So when I read about the initiative, it sounds very biased, of course, because they don't want it on the ballot. You know, they're really fighting hard not to get it signatures enough not to get it on the ballot. So,
yes.
This is what this initiative does: is number one, it will stop all boys, all men, entering women's spaces, such as bathrooms, shower rooms, and especially sports. So our girls and our ladies can compete against each other.
Sounds logical.
Yes, because, I mean, think about it. Women have fought a lot to get where they are today, to have
That's
equal
right.
everything, right?
Yes.
And now you're letting men act like women and go in your sports, in your locker room, in your privacy, and that's normal. But that, with this initiative, that will be illegal. That
yes.
will stop. Second thing this initiative does is it will be illegal for any minor to get injected by puberty blockers and hormone blockers.
Right.
One shot of this is no return. It's irreversible. Even if the parent consents, it would be illegal. Because just like the parent cannot consent a child to drink alcohol or smoke a cigarette.
Get a tattoo.
Amen. A parent cannot consent a damage that is irreversible, okay?
Right.
And the third thing is parental notification. If your child decides to change any part, name change, anything other than what they are registered, a parent must be notified. And this initiative was written by a very, very brave lawyer, Aaron Friday. Jennifer Kennedy and Nicole Pearson also helped with this initiative. And they have done everything they can. And it is up to us now to sign this initiative and put it on the ballot.
Yes.
I was trying to get 1,000 signatures before April 8th. And I kind of got stuck at 400, and it's not easy to get signatures.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's difficult.
And because this is the God's fight, and we're fighting evil, God sent me angels. He sent me, I got a phone call from an Orange County mom that I met over there during a board meeting. She said, there's this pastor wants to talk to you. Will you be willing to talk? And I said, yeah, sure, why not? And turns out that about 30 pastors are already fed up and tired
That's
and
amazing.
Angry.
That's amazing.
What's
yes.
happening to our children? So they called me and said, hey, would
Thank you Lord.
Willing to put an event where we can get all this signature?
That's amazing.
This is the biggest Korean Christian church in California that houses 7,000 congregation members.
Wow.
And we have pastors with 4,500 congregations, 2,700, 1,200.
It's amazing what the churches can do. You know, for some reason, I don't know what it is about churches. When it comes to these types of issues, they're silent. But they're starting to wake up, thank God. And I just know, just even voting, you know, they say half of all faith-based, you know, people are registered, and only half of them vote. And you know what? You have to be involved in the Lord's values. And the Lord's values are for us to protect our children.
Exactly.
And you know
Amen
what? If we had people of faith step up, just them alone, we can change this. Definitely. And these are our children. And children, you know, they think they're unicorns. And, you know, what do? We give them hormones to become a unicorn and, you know, put on a unicorn on them and say, okay, you're right. You are what you say you are. It's like, no, they're children. And but that's amazing. I love hearing that. And I think people of faith are waking up slowly but surely. And you know what? It's not enough. You know, prayer is not enough. You know, we need action. You know, and it even says in the Bible that, you know, prayer without works is dead.
You know, it's funny that you said that because I was at an event in San Bernardino. Mm-hmm. It was a Jesus event, like praising God. And I had the petition with me trying to get signatures. I walked up to this believer and I said, ma'am, would you mind signing my petition? And da-da-da. And she said, you know what? I don't need to sign that. God will take care of that, you know? And I looked at her and I said, yes, God is taking care of it. I'm here. Sign the petition.
That's right.
I'm the taking care of part.
That's crazy.
So it is on March 16th.
March 16th, and that's at Glory Church?
Glory Church of Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. on 1801 South Grant Street.
Yeah, Grand Boulevard.
Grand Boulevard.
1801 South Grand Avenue in Los Angeles. And what time is that going to start? Is that at 2?
It starts at 2, mm-hmm. But the doors will open at 1:30. We encourage everybody to come early. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a press release. So there's going to be a lot of media over there. We're going to have a booth for every county because they're very picky on this ballot,
yes,
and these signatures.
Are.
So we're going to set up booths for every county. So every county can walk up to the booth wherever you live and sign the petition. And we even went a step further, dedicated a whole certain booth with three people and a laptop type of thing. So if you walk in through the door and you say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not registered, guess what? Walk to the booth and we'll register you right away.
There you
Republican,
go.
Awesome. Okay?
And it's very easy to do.
It's very easy. It takes 3 minutes to. It's so easy, you know.
My friend's
so
going to love this. I can't wait.
Yeah, we encourage everybody to come out. There's great speakers going to be there. A lot of prayers, a lot of glory to our God, Jesus Christ. And honestly, this is a battle between good and evil. And I always said, I cannot lose because I'm fighting for God.
That's right.
And if you think you're evil, we got angels. And we got the toughest angel of them all, Michael the Archangel. Don't forget, he's on our side.
That's right. Absolutely. Is there a web page or social media that people can go to find flyer or, you know, do you have anything?
Well, there's one on the flyer. It says time, that's T-I-M-E, 2-T-O, stand, S-T-A-N-D, .org. So timetostand.org is on the flyer. But now we need some of these petitions because we have two events coming up this week as additional before this. On Tuesday evening at Shepherd Church in Porter Ranch, it's Ask a Jew, Ask a Christian with Dennis Prager and a pastor and
Dudley
Rutherford. So the LA Hispanic Republican Club and CNN Meadows are sponsoring the event. And so we'll have a booth in the lobby at the church so people can come and they can meet our candidates, but they can sign the petition, they can take it with them so that they can mail it in.
Definitely. I have plenty of petitions in my car. I'd be glad to
Perfect.
Give you some.
Okay, you can do that. And also on Wednesday at the LA Convention Center in the West Hall, we also have a booth at the Apartment Owners Association trade show. So there will be between 1,500 or 2,000 business people coming through through that during the day. So we'll have the petitions there. And these are individuals coming from all over the counties, all over California. Mainly it's housing providers, plus it's all the service, you know, whether it's plumbers or brokers or whatever. And it's a free event. So it's from 8 to 5 at the LA Convention Center. You can look for us. We'll have information on candidates that support our values. We'll have the petitions there. And so there's so many opportunities.
Maybe I could bring you some flyers for the event for March 16th.
Yep, also. Yep. Yeah, and we'll be passing these flyers out as well.
How many signatures does an initiative need to get in order to make it on?
This one, it needs 550,000 signatures, but we are going for 750 to a million.
Because they'll try
signatures.
To cancel out a lot of them.
Yeah. Well, and you know, and so we have the initiative process, and so we, you know, we need to protect that. There is a move on, you know, we'll go into what's the ballots, the measures that are coming in November, because they are putting on so many, the erode Proposition 13, they're putting them on to take away the initiative process. They're tired of people like us, you know, trying to petition the government for redress of grievances. That, you know, that damn First Amendment is so outdated.
So gets in the way.
Right.
And, you know and speaking of the First Amendment and you know, part of that being free speech, I mean, our Angela here became – like the Joan of Arc of, you know, through nationwide during COVID. And so, you know, let's, Angela, why don't you share with our listeners who aren't really aware of what happened, and let's go over that and see where you are today.
Well, I mean, it's kind of, it's funny talking about it because we see Gavin Newsom doing his $20 an hour minimum wage, right, and mm-hmm. giving a carve out for Panera Bread. Mm-hmm. My friend Mike Netter said, Angela, I think you need to get an AZ Bake oven and put it in your restaurant. And then you don't have to pay $20 an hour. But I actually, you know, I had somebody call for a comment on how I, you know, what did I think about this? And I said, well, you know, when my video went viral, my restaurant was over. And what I went through and what I saw just changed me. And I wanted the world to know, like, I am not here, but I want you to know why. Because everybody's locked in their houses, you know, and scared to come out. And they had put, you know, a big movie tent in my parking lot for about 200 people next to my tent that was deemed unusable. We were not allowed because it was dangerous because of COVID, right?
Incredible.
And, you know, I later found out that video, I literally, I'm not on social media. I need to be on it and being more involved in that way. But I had, you know, 300-400 people in the neighborhood. And I asked my friend, I said, I can't walk and talk. And I'm so upset. And I thought my business was over at that point. And I said, I have to let the neighborhood know and everybody know the truth and what is really happening and why we won't be here when they come out. Wow. And that video went worldwide, actually.
I actually remember seeing it.
It's really weird.
I remember. But
it was God. That video God took, and it was like a cry out to the world. I didn't know it was going to actually go to the world, but it did.
Amazing.
And then those funds saved my bar, and I'm still here, and it's why I still fight. And there, it, you know, you would think that after COVID, that was like a war, right? It's like, it's over, it's done. No, it's just begun. It gets worse and worse and worse.
You think it would have woken up a lot of people, and
you
still
would think.
You know, I think some people did wake up. You know, but not enough. And I do remember seeing that. I mean, this is the first time I'm meeting you, but I do remember seeing that. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this is just so insane that they can have their movie studio with all their catering and
the
everything.
The sad thing is like, when I had talked to you, David, about coming in and talking about at that time, you know, what was going on with the $20 an hour minimum wages, small businesses, businesses in general are under siege. They literally want us out of business. And the attacks continue. And sometimes I look back and think, it's worse than before COVID. Mm. I mean, they are putting everything, like insurance. Our insurance liability has gone from $16,000 to $40,000. Workman's comp, a friend of mine, she just got her renewal, $16,000 to $44,000 with no claims on it. The
look
inflation
at what they,
on the food.
Yes.
The
$20
an hour
with the
minimum wage.
Was
the
AB5 bill.
The
that, it, I mean, it's people are like with the movie studios and the entertainment, the drivers, the Uber drivers, the AB bill struck a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I kind of think it did kind of wake up people a little bit in those industries, because a lot of times those industries don't get hit like the movie studios in that way. But I think it did wake up people. But I think, unfortunately, it's the media. The media is not reporting this stuff.
Nobody, because they're very strategic in how it's going. So they create labor laws that are supposed to be good for everybody. And they make it very easy for you to be sued. Even if the employee is lying, they get a free attorney.
Yeah.
You've got to pay for an attorney. right? And it costs hundreds of thousands to go to court. That's one area. Then you have the ADA coming in. They get a free attorney, and the attorneys actually send people in knowing they can make money off of you.
Yeah, what do they call it? The PAGA lawsuits, public attorney general lawsuits.
Right. They so they have we're getting hit by lawfare every day. Like they're coming after small businesses for not having their website ADA, right, compliant. And we crazy. Laugh, but as a small business, we're barely making it, and we can't afford an attorney, and then we have to pay out, right?
Yeah, because that's what they say, you know, either you pay us or we're going to go ahead and we'll file suit.
Right, and then they unleash the homeless. They unleash the crime to the point that the liability insurance is – they're dropping everybody and leaving California.
Crazy. Mm-hmm.
There are 717 restaurants from January to October robbed – right? 717. That's just from last year, January to October. 15 people arrested, not one person in jail.
It's just crazy. The politicians right now that are in charge are undermining the citizens. And that's what people need to understand. They're undermining the citizens.
Yes.
They're doing everything to make it hard for us to have a decent standard of living. And that's why it is so important to go out and vote. Vote for people that want you to have your money. You know,
and
not
remember,
people that want to take your money.
There's a great book called George Washington, The Entrepreneur. And George Washington, the reason why we had the Revolutionary War is exactly because of what they're doing right now.
Yes.
If you read that book, it's amazing.
Angela, how can people, because you're still struggling, how can people support you?
Just come out to the Pineapple, please. Have a hamburger. Have a beer. We have St. Patty's going on next weekend. We'll
have a great Reuben sandwich.
Oh, and we are known for our corned beef and cabbage and potato pancakes.
Location.
Yes, in Sherman Oaks, 4454 Van Nuys Boulevard in Sherman Oaks, California. We would love to see you.
That's Pineapple Hill. Marianne, we did it again. There goes a quick hour.
It goes by so fast.
Now all of a sudden we've got with this 5G and then, Manuk on the 16th. Yes. And don't forget LA Convention Center on Wednesday the 20th, Shepherd Church on Tuesday evening. We'll be there at both. Come and pick up some of these petitions. Come and pick up information on candidates. We'll have great candidates like Daniel Martinez Esquire, who's running for Congress in the 31st District. It's his second run. He's doing really great. I saw him today. So be sure and go to our website, Los Angeles Hispanic Republican Club.com. And like Larry Elder says, put some money in the tip jar because we have a county to save.
Yeah.
So this is David Hernandez, and
Amen.
We'll see you next week.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.